wanted to present some of that to you this morning, a little bit of it. And I want to go just right there this morning. But that verse of scripture, when it said that the angels announced, Gabriel, the announcing angel, came and he announced in the heavenlies on that eventful season and time. He said God's purpose was goodwill on earth, peace towards man. God's message, I want to tell you today, God's message has not changed. His message has not changed for us, for mankind. In a world that we're living in that is just nuts, crazy, doesn't make sense. Thank God he still reigns, he still rules, he's still Lord, he's still the Prince of Peace, he's still the Alpha, the Omega, he's still on the throne. Come on, isn't he? Amen. He's good to us today. Good to us today. If you're a guest here for the first time, we welcome you today. I want to talk to you this morning. There are prophetic words about the birth of the Lord and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just dovetail into this presentation that the choir presented to us today. There are prophetic words about Jesus, Yeshua, being born. Now, some of you don't even, you've never even heard this, but most of us have around here. I realize this is not the actual season he's born, okay? But don't let that throw you. Let's forget about that. I'm not saying don't be accurate. I'm not saying don't be factual. But I'm just saying, just get over that right now. He came. He came, and he came because he loves us. And thank God he came because he loves us. So in Luke chapter 1 and 2, and then Matthew 1 and 2, I'm going to use some verses to tell you about some of, not all seven, but some of the prophetic words that announced he was coming and why he came, because thank God he did, and we need this. God gave seven words about the birth of his son through seven people who either they prophesied it or it was prophesied to them that it would happen to them. And so I encourage you to reread the Christmas story sometime during the season in Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1 and 2. Reread it. I saw things that when they sang today, I saw words out of the scriptures that said, wow, that's awesome. And we don't ever need to lose that awe that God so loved us that he sent his son to become our Savior. And if this is news for you, what prophecy is, it's simply God speaking or foretelling about his future plans for mankind. So God was speaking things about the birth of his son, Yeshua Jesus. And each of them, each of these seven prophecies, there's a word that stands out in each of the seven. We're only going to look at three of them today, but to know the purpose of why he's coming. The first one was salvation. We know that the Lord, that the angel, Gabriel, the announcing angel, he appeared to Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptizer. Zacharias was a priest serving in his temple, the temple time. It was his course to serve in the temple. And his wife was Elizabeth. Elizabeth was barren. I'm going to give you the skinny story today. Elizabeth was barren, and Zacharias, they were praying to have a child and couldn't. And as he was serving his course as a priest in the temple, the angel, Gabriel, shows up to him and announces that your prayers have been heard. Thank God our prayers are heard on high today. Amen? Your prayers are heard, and Elizabeth will conceive and have a child. Now, here's a little bit funny, if you take it right way. Zacharias was a wise man in his response to the angel, because Zacharias said, well, how can this be to me being old and Elizabeth being advanced in years? He didn't call her old. He said she's just advanced in years. So guys, maybe you take a clue from that, that maybe that's how the language you should use. She's not old. She may just be advanced in years. Zacharias kind of was wise in his response to the angel there. The angel then told him that, Zacharias, because you don't believe, you're going to be mute until the boy is born. Well, you look back in time, Abraham and Sarah had the same situation, barren, desiring a child. God's promise came, said you're going to have a child. And then there's Mary too. After we see Elizabeth and Zacharias, you got Mary and you got Joseph. And they asked the same question of the angel, but yet they believed. But here we see Zacharias didn't. So Zacharias, he said, you're not going to be able to speak. I'm going to take your voice away from you until, so when the John was born, they asked Elizabeth, what's going to be the child's name? She responded, his name's going to be John. They said, there's nobody named John in your family. Where'd you come up with John? What about Esau? What about Elias? What about all these other wonderful, good Hebrew names? They said, no, it's John. And then Zacharias, he takes a writing tablet and he writes the name down, and boom, suddenly the angel looses his tongue and he's able to speak. And he says his name's going to be John, because that's what the Lord told him. And we see that in Luke 1:67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit came upon Zacharias. He prophesied saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." And he raised up a horn of, here it is, salvation. This is why Yeshua Jesus came, for salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Verse 76, and the prophecy went on, and you, child, he spoke directly to the child that was going to come, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation. There it is again. This is the purpose why John was prophesying, John the Baptist, or Elias was, Zacharias was prophesying John the Baptist would come, is to give knowledge of salvation to his people because of the remission or forgiveness of their sins. I want to remind you today, Christmas represents salvation. It's not a trip to Walmart or Wally World or online or whatever. Christmas represents salvation today. This is why God sent his son. The whole world is forced right now to face the birth of Jesus Christ. Oh, they may not like it and they may deny it and they may deal with it in another way, but we celebrate. We celebrate his birth because we're of those that have experienced salvation, experienced forgiveness and his goodness. So don't forget, in the midst of all of our activity, the buying and the scurrying around and the parties and the days off, it represents salvation. He came because he so loved us. It's about God sending his son for us and for salvation from sin. That is the message of Christmas. It's not all the other stuff. It's wonderful to be with family. His name will be called Yeshua or Jesus. As Jesus in the Greek, Jesus is a derivative of Yeshua. Yeshua, we know, is the Hebrew name. Jesus is the Greek name. The Y-E in Hebrew, it was a derivative of Joshua. We see that from the Old Testament. There are two Joshuas in the Old Testament. Joshua that led the children of Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land. And then we see another Joshua who's high priest when Israel came out of their exile. And at his birth, his name was actually Hosea. Close to you, Hosea, but Moses added the J in front of that Joshua's name and later became the name of Joshua. Why did he do that? Because Hosea means salvation or saves. And when he added the J that represented God in front of it, Joshua meant God saves. And it was a picture, it was a type that just as Joshua led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the wilderness, that and into the promised land, there's coming a Savior, there's coming a Redeemer. That was the prophecy, that was God's promise, that's going to save us, take us out of our darkness and bring us into the land of promise and bring us into an eternal relationship with God the Father that loves us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So it means God saves. And when you go back to those English letters, why did they change the O to an E and make it Yeshua? Because Yeshua refers Jesus directly to the God who says, "I am." Awesome. Jesus actually means, "I am your salvation." We use the Greek name for him, Jesus, but it actually means, "I am your salvation." This is one of the main reasons the religious leaders were so angry and wanted to kill Jesus and Yeshua, because he said, "I am the door, I am the bread, I am the water, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the good shepherd." What he was saying, "I am God, I'm the door, I'm the bread, I'm the way of life." This is who and what Jesus is. He's salvation. Don't ever forget during this busy season and get distracted. He is your Savior. He is the one that has come to save you and to help you. His presence is so awesome and so powerful here today. I sat there as I worshiped and wept. I'm sitting there crying and everybody else is happy and celebrating. I'm sitting there crying, "Thank you, Lord God. I feel your presence. I'm so glad that, Lord, you love us enough." I believe God is pleased with the worship that happened here this morning when we blessed his name. Do you realize there's so many places in the world today right now that are cursing his name defaming his name, denying his name, renouncing his name, blaspheming his name. And I believe his eyes and his heart are fixed upon this place and maybe many, I'm sure many others, but because we were worshiping him and lifting him up and exalting him, God dwells in the midst of the praises of his people. So why don't you just take a praise break and just praise him again one more time, because he is a worthy one. Hallelujah. So don't forget, he's salvation. And then secondly, the word favor. We see the story of Mary in Luke 1, 26 through 30. Now, this is the 6th month the angel Gabriel was sent by God. 6th month of the Hebraic calendar, that the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Wow, what an introduction. "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Mary, don't be afraid, for you have found," here it is again, that word favor with God. What does the word favor mean? The word favor is the Greek word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. And that word charis, it's the Greek word for grace. And 6 times in the New Testament, the word is translated favor. 130 times that word is translated grace. Favor is grace. The angel spoke to her, "For you have found grace in the eyes of the Lord." We see in Genesis 6, Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. When God was speaking this, when his son was born, what God was saying to mankind was, he was speaking salvation and he was speaking, "I am a God of grace and I'm a God of favor." This is the season, this is the reason, as we say, of a time of grace by which you and I can enter into that throne, that place in God's presence, that you are one of his favorites. I don't like it when people ask me to do something in a service, you know, raise your hand and do this or da 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 and do that. But I just want you to point to yourself today, thump yourself on your chest, and not be proud in yourself, but be proud in the grace of God, and say this with me: I'm one of his favorites. I'm one of his favorites. I've had people ask me, well, you know, they say, "Well, my father and God this and my God." I said, "Hey, he's my dad too. He's my father too. He's my savior too. Don't act like you're the only child in the family. We're all his favorites. We're all his favorites." And God can handle that. Earthly parents may not be able to handle that. I'm accused by my family members, or one of them in particular, I won't call a name. I'm accused, said, you were mom's favorite. I said, "Why do you say that?" "Oh, you were." I don't know if I was so bad I required more attention, and they interpreted it that I was her favorite. But they said, "Oh, no." But listen, a real good earthly parent, they love all your children. They love all the kids. All the kids are different, and they got to be dealt with different. But in God's eyes, this is the truth. In God's eyes, every one of us is one of his favorites. That means there's no room for jealousy. There's no room for arrogance, pride. There's no room to put somebody else down. God's got whatever you need, wherever you are, the Father has it. And the wonderful thing about God is, as a 6-point-something billion people are on planet Earth in this very present time, God knows you by detail. The scriptures say in Matthew, he even knows the very hairs of your head. They're numbered. He knows everything about you. He knows your hurts. He knows your down sittings and your uprisings. He understands your thoughts from afar off. That's good, and that can scare you too. But, you know, God knows everything about you because he loves you. Favorite means that one on whom favor rests. Goodwill towards all men. Peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. So in all of the things that you're doing this season, don't forget God's favor, and you're one of his favors. And then the third one we're going to share this morning, I'm going to quit, was the word blessed. And this involves Elizabeth, who is Mary and Elizabeth's story. but Elizabeth, her relative. This prophecy was given through Elizabeth. We find it in Luke 1, 39 through 45. Now Mary, after the announcement from Gabriel about her having this child and just blowing her mind, and how can this happen to me? I'm a virgin, and you know, I've not known a man, even though I'm engaged. We're not married yet. We haven't, conceived anything yet. How can this happen? And the Holy Spirit announces that which is in you is holy, conceived by the Holy Spirit. I love Mary's response. She said, Lord, be it unto me as you have said. Do you realize what she faced as a young woman in that time? Total social ostracism. She could have been killed. Her family, her father would have had the right to kill her. You've been disloyal, Mary. You've been immoral, Mary. All of that stuff. It freaked Joseph out. He sought to put her away privately. We know the story. But the angel, it's amazing how many times angels appeared around the birth and the coming of Yeshua into this world. It's amazing how heaven invaded earth to help us humans understand this wasn't just a normal thing. This was holy. This was divine. This was God's plan. This was God's appointed time, as it says in Galatians 4, for him to come and reveal the Savior, to save all of mankind. So in those times that Mary had a message and Elizabeth was 6 months ahead of her, Mary arose in those days, went to the hill country with haste. She said, I've got to talk to somebody. I don't know what this is. I've got to talk to somebody. To a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, at that time, they didn't have the experience of the Holy Spirit like you and I do today. The Holy Spirit would come upon them for seasons and events and special occasions that the Lord wanted something said or done. So the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth, and she spoke. And that's what she said. What she said was prophetic. And she said she spoke it with a loud voice. And that wasn't typical of a woman then. And that's as far as I'm going to go with that one, but that's with a loud voice. And said, blessed are you among women. And here's that word, blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this? And Mary was just overwhelmed and overcome with it. And here's her response. She said, but why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed, and there it is again, three times, blessed is she. And he's talking about Mary. Elizabeth was to Mary. Blessed are you, Mary, who believed, for here will be the fulfillment of those things which were told you from the Lord. God has come. The Greek word for blessed is the word makarios, which means happy. When you read the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that do this and that and the other. It means happy. You will find your happiness when you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the devil probably told all of us before you became a Christian, there's no way, if you become a Christian, you're never going to be happy. How could you be happy to be a Christian? I know as a young person, it's like, why would I want to be a Christian? That sounds horrible. Read the Bible and go to church. I was forced. I was on drugs long before I was on drugs. I was drugged to church, and I had to endure that, and I hated it. And there came a time and age, as a teenager, my parents said, listen, you're old enough to make up your mind whether you're going to go to church or not. And I said, I already made up my mind. I said no a long time ago, but you wouldn't listen to me. They said, well, now it's your choice, and I quit. And I said, how could being a Christian be happy? But I want to tell you that February 21st night of 1971, when I knelt in an altar at Dorville, Georgia, and I said, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm sorry for the way that I've lived, and Lord, I can't live anymore like this. Please come into my heart and save me. I tell you what, the Lord lit me up that night, and I have been happy. Have I had problems? Oh, yeah, I got a bunch of them. I got stacks of them because I deal with people. That's just the reality of it. You know, if you dealt with animals, that might be a little bit different. This is before I was a Christian, okay? Before I was a Christian. My mom would always say, and dad too, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? You know, what do you think you want to be? And she was the secretary to the chief of medicine of the VA hospital. Well, what do you think my mom wanted? Why don't you be a doctor? I said, Mom, I don't want to be a doctor. I said, number one, it's too much school. I said, number two, I'd rather be a vet. and help animals that are in need. People are so mean. I don't want to deal with people. I said it. That's before I was a Christian, okay? So forgive me. Don't hold it against me. What do I deal with more than anything else now? People. Don't tell God what you won't do. Oh, it's amazing. But the Lord comes to make us happy. And let me say this. I am happy. I'm happy to deal with people. My heart is broken a lot of times for people and the needs that, and situations that they get into. But I'm happy. Listen, Friday night, I think I can say this in this service. Friday night when we ended our little party, class party thing, how my night ended Friday night, I got to talk to a young man about Jesus. I got to give my story and my testimony, how God saved me, what he saved me out of, and how good God's been to me for, it's amazing, getting old for 48 years now, been a believer. But that's how I ended my Friday night. I got in the car and I said, Lord, today was worth everything else I went through because I got to tell somebody about you and share you. I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm saved. I'm happy I'm born again. He came to make us happy. Listen, you'll never find happiness, peace, or fulfillment in your life until you totally, completely surrender to Jesus. Some of the most miserable people are Christians that half-heartedly or think that they can three-quarters of the way or 99% of the way surrender to Jesus. You're never going to be total and complete and fulfilled until you let Jesus Christ be Lord of all. Please believe me. Happiness and blessings only come through that experience and that relationship with Jesus. Last scripture, Acts 3:26, and I'm through. Preaching to the people, Peter said this, to you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus. Why? He sent him to bless you. Listen, God's not mad at anybody. As crazy as this world is, as mean as some people are, as vicious and vile, as some irreverent as some people are, God still loves them. He doesn't love what they do. He doesn't love the fruit of their life. He doesn't love that they're kept under captivity of the enemy. But God loves them, and the blood of his son has been shed for them to save them and turn them around. I pray for them. I say, Lord, give them revelation so that zeal that they have and all that energy that they have for evil, that, Lord, it would be they'd be born again, they'd be saved, and they'd get it into the kingdom of God and start using it for the glory of God and to bring people to Christ, just like Saul was saved and converted and turned into Paul, one of the greatest evangelists that there were. So he sent his son to bless you in turning every one of you from your iniquities. He came to be your personal savior. He has paid that price to save us from the power of sin and redeem us. He came to show us his favor, that you are his favorite. He would have died for you, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background, no matter how bad you've been involved in sin, no matter what the devil's taken you through, Jesus Christ wants to lead you out of it to a glorious life, in this life of victory and salvation and healing and cleansing and a wonderful life to come in the future. You are one of his favorites. And then thirdly, he has come to bless you. He wants your life to be complete. He wants your life to be happy, filled with joy. And he knows that the only way possible for this to happen for you is for you to receive the gift of his son. You know, we sing about the baby, and I know he had to get here as a baby. And when you really understand why he had to come as a baby, why didn't he come as a full-grown savior? Why didn't he come as a king riding on a white horse and lop everybody's head off from the start? How come he didn't just come in and take control? How come he hadn't done away with the devil, you know, by now? He had to come as one of, like you and me, in order to legally purchase what Adam and Eve gave away in the garden. Jesus had to become a man, a human being, to go through what we go through, but yet resist sin and never sin. Totally, completely serve a right, be a righteous and live a righteous, godly life before God the Father. He had to do that. He did what Adam and Eve failed to do. He did it as a man. Jesus Yeshua did it as a man. He did it because that earned him the legal right to represent all of mankind. Adam represented all of mankind. Please understand that. It doesn't matter if their name was Fred and Henrietta in the garden. Yeah, male and female. It doesn't matter if it's Fred and Henrietta. They were human beings, and they would have done the same thing. They lost what God gave them, the gift of life. Jesus had to become one of us, a human being. Where they failed, Jesus Christ successfully completed the mission of the Father. That's why you could say it's finished. The work that you gave me to do is finished. And now when I give my life on the cross and I shed my blood, I have purchased back, I have won back your creation, mankind, out of darkness, that now they can know you, Lord. What a Savior. What a God, what a Heavenly Father, that He never gave up on us and never turned His back towards us, but loves us today. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray, and then we'll talk about some other things. So we're not through yet, so don't think, man, we're early today. I can get out of here and go eat breakfast somewhere. Just until we say amen, please just hang around, okay? But I wanted to get to the heart of this because the choir... The Holy Spirit so effectively used the choir today to bring us into the presence of the Lord. You may be here. You may be a guest here for the first time. You may have been invited by one of our info cards and one of the members or attenders here at WOW. That may be you. You may be watching online. You may have stumbled across World Outreach Worship Center this morning, this December 8th, 2019, and said, "What's this? Who are they?" And you may be watching for the first time today. I want to tell you, God so loves you that He sent His Son. That's why we're so happy around here. Because when you live a life that you're cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, we're not ashamed of His blood. Because it's not our goodness. It's not what we can do. It's His blood that washes away our sins. It's the only cure. It's the only remedy for the sin of mankind. But that's why we're so happy. When we can sing about His birth, we can sing about His love, we can sing about the amazement of the Father coming and showing Himself to us through Jesus. That's why we're so happy around here. That's why we stand and clap and act like, listen, this is better than any ball game. Our team, Jesus, always wins. If you want to put it in that vernacular, He always wins. Father, I pray today for the heart of that person. I want our prayer teams just to come and get ready. Come. I pray today, Lord, for the heart of that person that may be here or that may be watching or that may hear this in another week, another time. I pray for the heart of that one, Lord, that may not really know you yet. I pray, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, the revelation of the knowledge of you would shine upon their heart, their life, their spirit, soul. And Lord, may they come to know your love, especially during this season of time, Lord. I pray for them. Lord, I pray for that person that's discouraged today. I pray for that person, Lord, that feels like they can't go any further in life. Life has dealt them a series of negative things and reversals. And Lord, that they just can't face and handle anymore. I pray for that person today, Lord. I pray that, Lord, today that you are the God of hope. You hear our prayers. You answer our cries, Lord. I pray today that, Lord, that they would come to the knowledge and find you as the God that loves them, comforts them, is with them, never to fail, leave them. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those that today are physically sick and battling something, a prognosis the doctor has spoken over their body, Father, that they're facing a surgery or they have an illness, Lord, it's a serious illness, and maybe the doctor said there's nothing more that we can do. Or they're having to take some kind of medication, or they're going to experience some kind of extreme surgery, Lord. I pray for that person today because, Jesus, you made a covenant with God the Father when you gave your life, shed your blood, and offered your body on the cross. And that covenant says that by your stripes, we are healed. And Father, today I pray for that person that's here today, Lord, that's following you afar off. And your Holy Spirit has spoken to their heart today. And their mind says, I believe in Jesus. But the Holy Spirit's telling them today, but I have something better. And there's a closer walk for you than what you're experiencing. I pray that today, Lord, that they would, Lord, just experience a release and a breakthrough today, Father, in Jesus' name. Pastor Larry's got, I don't even know if he can sing.
That's right.
But he's going to play something. If that's you this morning, no matter what your need is, no matter what your situation is, you want prayer, you need prayer, I'm inviting you, come. And we're going to spend a few moments in doing this, and then we're going to transition, and we'll finish up doing our other stuff. But this is the priority. This is why Jesus came. This is why God sent his son. He loves you. He wants to touch you. He wants to save you. He wants to bless you. And he wants to just give you his favor, pronounce his favor upon your life. Come in the name of Jesus.
Oh, come, let us adore.
That you just step out. Don't be ashamed. The Holy Spirit's here to touch
come,
you.
Oh, come, let us adore.